Okay, I forgot how everyone for organizing. It's always a privilege to be back with the Shir and to share Divrei Torah from Marino Rabbeinu Shlita, from whom all of us have grown or will continue, and certainly will continue to grow from so much. So I think it only pays to begin Shir on Yom HaAtzmaut the same way that the Rav Rosenzweig would always begin his Shiurim on Inyanei Eretz Yisrael on Yom HaAtzmaut, which is by noting that Yom HaAtzmaut is really our opportunity to experience, to display, to exhibit our hakaras hatov for the opportunity of life in Eretz Yisrael. An opportunity that of course our ancestors couldn't have possibly imagined. And there's no better way to connect to that hakaras hatov than to deepen our understanding of the value of life in Eretz Yisrael. And to accomplish both of those goals, to have the Hakaras HaTov and to understand life in Eretz Yisrael, the best way to do that is to engage in a deep, rigorous analysis of the sugyas of Eretz Yisrael, of Inyanei Eretz Yisrael. Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal, he would always on Yom HaAtzmaut in at Har Etzion. So before there was any Tiulim or other festivities or whatnot, he would always begin the day with a shir in the Beis Medrash to the entire yeshiva on sugyas from Seder Zoraim. And Rav Rosenzweig has certainly followed in his path. So we're going to do the same. And today we're going to focus on the topic of the mitzvah of Bikurim, and in particular, the place of the mitzvah of Bikurim both in the worlds of Kedushas Hazman and also Kedushas Hamakom. So let's begin as follows. Regarding Kedushas Hazman, so there's a lot of evidence of connections between Bikurim and both the Moadim of Pesach and Shavuos, and in particular the unique Korbanos that are offered on Pesach and Shavuos, namely the Korban HaOmer and the Korban Shtei HaLechem. If we begin chronologically from the connections between Bikurim and Pesach, so the Torah and Parshas Vayikra, V'im Takriv Minchas Bikurim LaHashem, the Gemara Menachos Samaches Medbeis interprets that Minchas Bikurim B'Minchas HaOmer HaKasov Medaber. The Torah specifically uses the word Bikurim to denote the Korban HaOmer. The connection there is added to by Rav Yerucham Tishel Perla, who explains when the Bahag counts the Parsha of Bikurim in his Minyan HaParshios, which usually refers to Chovos HaTzibur, the Parsha of Bikurim refers specifically to the Korban HaOmer. Korban HaOmer was a Chovas Tzibur to be offered on the second day of Pesach. So the Bahag too uses the word Bikurim to denote the Korban HaOmer, thereby linking Bikurim with Pesach, and it's a unique Korban. Aside from the Korban HaOmer, we have many connections between Tzipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and Bikurim as well. We know that the text that Chazal chose to darshin to fulfill Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim was Arami Ovid Avi, the text of Mikra Bikurim from Parshas Kisavo. The Rambam adds to that in Hilchos Chometz, Perek Zayin, Halacha Dalet, source number 4 for anybody who's following along. And the Rambam says, first of all, the Rambam applies Kol Amarba Hareza Meshubach to specifically the drasha of Arami Ovid Avi, not just the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim in general, but in specific to the drasha of Arami Ovid Avi. And in addition, he interprets the position of Shmuel by Maskil Begnus Umesayim B'Shevach that refers to the drasha of Arami Ovid Avi. Behu Sheyidrosh Me'arami Ovid Avi Ad Sheyigmor Kol HaParsha is a fulfillment of Maskil Begnus Umesayim B'Shevach. Rav Rosenzweig also often quotes a comment of the Rambam in the Sheikh Chaso Essen, where the Ramban counts the mitzvah of Berkas HaTorah. At the conclusion of his piece there, he makes a parallel, an analogy between the following. He says, Berkas HaTorah to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim to the mitzvah of Achilas Korban Pesach is analogous to the mitzvah of Mikra Bikurim to the obligation of Havoas Bikurim. So clearly what the Ramban has in mind is that for some mitzvos, in addition to the Maisa mitzvah, we also have an accompanying articulation and elaboration that sheds light on the meaning of the mitzvah, without which there is something missing from the Maisa mitzvah itself. And most likely, it's not coincidental that these are the mitzvos that are grouped together in that analogy. Again, raising our eyebrows, piquing our curiosity as to the connections between Bikurim and the Moed of Pesach And as we said before, it's Korban of Korban HaOmer. In addition to Chag HaMatzos, Bikurim is also very much connected to Chag HaShavuos and its Korban, the Korban Shtei HaLechem. The Torah on Parshas Pinchas, source number 6, Uviyom HaBikurim BeHakrivechem Minchah HaDashal Hashem. The Torah calls the day of Shavuos Uviyom HaBikurim. And the Chizkuni there, as opposed to Rashi, we'll put Rashi on the side for now, but the Chizkuni says, why is Shavuos called the day of the Bikurim, of Yom HaBikurim? Because from Shavuos and on is when we are allowed to bring the Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash. In addition, just like the Torah calls the Korban HaOmer Bikurim, it also calls the Korban Shtei HaLechem Bikurim. In Parshas Emor, in Parshas HaMoadim, the Torah says, Chametz Teofena Bikurim LaHashem. And that's a reference to the Korban Shtei Alechem. And it's not just that we use the word Bikurim to denote the Shtei Alechem, but there are actual substantive extrapolations that are made between the Shtei Alechem and the Bikurim. The Gemara Menachos Mem Vav Amid Beis explains that just as Bikurim are intended to be consumed, so too the Korban Shtei Alechem should be eaten. And just as Bikurim are kosher, even if they are missing the accompanying korban that was supposed to be brought with it, so too the korban shtei alechem would be kosher even without its accompanying korban. Finally, the Mishnah in Kelim. This is probably the most oft-quoted source by Rav Rosenzweig in Inane Eretz Yisrael Yom Ha'atzmaut. The Mishnah in Kelim, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Vav. The Mishnah spells out Eser Kedushos Hein, the 10 different levels of Kedusha, and it begins with Eretz Yisrael Mikudashas Mikol Ho'aratzos, that Eretz Yisrael is the most Mikudash of all lands. And what reflects the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael? Umahi Kedushasa Shemeviyah Mimena HaOmer VeHabikurim Ushtei HaLechem. That the Korban HaOmer, Bikurim, and Shtei HaLechem are brought only from Eretz Yisrael. We're going to discuss this at length. But for right now, I just want to make the point that Rav Rosenzweig made, that perhaps it's not coincidental that Bikurim here is sandwiched between the Omer and the Shtei HaLechem, as if to say that the Bikurim is connected to both of those ends. The Bikurim is connected to Korban HaOmer and Pesach, and also to Korban Shtei HaLechem and Shavuos. So certainly, the role of Bikurim within this world of Kedushas Hazman and the Korbanos that are offered on Pesach and Shavuos certainly requires clarification, certainly requires elaboration. In addition, the role of Bikurim within Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, Kedushas HaMakom, is also very much complex. So let's begin here just by noting the three different ways in which Eretz Yisrael manifests its unique status. We know that Eretz Yisrael manifests its Kedushas HaKarka in the form of a unique set of mitzvos, the mitzvos HaTuyos Ba'aretz, that are described in the Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Lamed Vav Lamed Zayin. In addition, Eretz Yisrael also manifests its particular Kedusha through the realm of Kedushas HaMakom, the location, the airspace of Eretz Yisrael. And that's what we just referred to from the Mishnah in Kelim, that Eretz Yisrael Mekudesh Asi Mikol Ho'aratzos. And finally, Eretz Yisrael also manifests its uniqueness through what Rav Rosenzweig and earlier Rav Soloveitchik referred to as the Shem Eretz Yisrael, the formal status of Eretz Yisrael, which refers to the national historical status of Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Rosenzweig often calls it the national headquarters of the Jewish people. And that's why there are many dinim that are limited, national dinim are limited to Eretz Yisrael. For example, Smicha, Kiddush HaChodesh, Par Helem Davar Shal Tzibor, the Gemara in Horio says that Ein Tzibor Ela Eretz Yisrael, something like that. So the idea is that whenever you have a din that revolves around the national or the national nature of the Jewish people, that's always going to be limited to Eretz Yisrael. Bikurim seems to overlap the first two of those manifestations of the uniqueness of Eretz Yisrael. On the one hand, the Mishnayos and Bikurim compare Bikurim to other mitzvos hatluyos ba'aretz, like Truma and Maisros. And certainly, if we were to ask probably any stam person on the street, if they knew something about the mitzvah of Bikurim, they would associate Bikurim with the karka of Eretz Yisrael. We're bringing the fruits that were grown from the land of Eretz Yisrael to the Beis HaMikdash. But on the other hand, we know that Bikurim is very much related to the Kedushas HaMakom, of Eretz Yisrael. We just quoted the Mishnah in Kehilim, which mentioned Bikurim as one of the expressions of Eretz Yisrael Mekudesh Hashem Mikol HaAretzos. And we mentioned many, many examples in which Bikurim was compared more so to the Korban HaOmer and Shtei HaLechem. And in addition to that, furthermore, the Mishnayos also apply some Dinei Korban to Bikurim. It requires Tenufa and Lina. Korbanos are not mitzvos hatuyos ba'aretz. They're not a mitzvah that stems from the land, from the ground, from the karka. So from that perspective, Bikurim would be more of a manifestation or more connected to the Kedushas HaMakom of Eretz Yisrael, more so than the Kedushas Karka and the status of mitzvos hatuyos ba'aretz. So what I want to do today is try to flesh out some mahalchim that Rav Rosenzweig presented in trying to better define the role of Bikurim within the world of Kedushas HaMakom, and try to deepen this theme of Bikurim in particular as an expression of the Kedushas HaMakom of Eretz Yisrael. And after we do that, we'll return to the original question of the place of Bikurim within the world of Kedushas HaZman. So if we want to clarify exactly the place that the Bikurim occupies within the world of Kedushas HaMakom, so we should really return to the source for the limitation of Mitzvahs Bikurim to Eretz Yisrael. Right, we know from the Mishnah in Kehilim that Bikurim only applies in Eretz Yisrael. You can't use fruits that grew in Chutz La'aretz and bring them to the Beis HaMikdash as a fulfillment of Bikurim. You can only bring fruits that grew in Eretz Yisrael. How do we know that? So the Gemara in Bava Basra, source number 14, a preview for next year, Be'ez Hashem, the Gemara Bava Basra says, Darshin is from the Pasuk in Mikra Bikurim, Asher Tavi Me Artzecha, the fruits that you're going to bring from your land, Hahu Lema'utei Chutz La'aretz. That serves as an exclusion of peiros that grew in Chutz La'aretz. So Tosos here is an off-quoted Tosos, asks a very compelling question. Tosfos wonders why we need a specific Zeres HaKasuv to exclude Chutz La'aretz from Bikurim. After all, Bikurim seems like a mitzvah hatluya ba'aretz, and the Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Lamed Vav Lamed Zayin establishes that any mitzvah hatluya ba'aretz applies only in Eretz Yisrael. Only in Eretz Yisrael. So if that's the case, if we already have a makor that mitzvah hatluyos ba'aretz apply only in Eretz Yisrael, why do we need an additional source to exclude Chutz La'aretz when it comes to the mitzvah of Bikurim? So Tosfos here presents two different answers, and the two answers seem to be arguing fundamentally about the character of the mitzvah of Bikurim. The first resolution in Tosfos is that we need an additional Gzeres HaKasuv in order to be mafkia from a havamina that we may have had. We know the Torah in Parshas Mishpatim, Parshas Kisisa, Reishis Bikurei Admascha, Tavi Beis Hashem Elokecha, Lo Sevasho Gedi B'Chalev Imo. The Torah groups together the mitzvah of Bikurim with the Isser of Basar B'Chalev. Of course, the Isser of Basar B'Chalev applies not only in Eretz Yisrael, but in all lands. So because of the connection between Bikurim and Basar B'Chalev, we may have thought that just as Basar B'Chalev applies not only in Eretz Yisrael, but also in Chutz La'aretz, so too, Bikurim should apply not only in Eretz Yisrael, but also in Chutz La'aretz. Kamash Malan, the Pasuk of Asher Tavi, may Artzecha, that no, we have an additional Gzeres HaKasuv to tell us that the mitzvah of Bikurim does not carry with it this property of the mitzvah of Basar B'Chalev, but rather is limited to Eretz Yisrael. That's the first answer of Tosfos. Second answer of Tosfos is that of the Rash Mishatz. Rashmishan says as follows. I'll read it inside. It's in source number 15, fourth line, in the middle of the line. Ule Rashba nire, delo chashive bikurim mitzvah hatuya ba'aretz, delo dami letruma umayser v'chala. Bikurim is not akin to these other mitzvahs hatuyos ba'aretz. Why not? Dehasam guf haperos mechuyavin betrum. The peros themselves are the chiyuv of truma pertains to the peiros themselves. The tevel ninhu, va'asurin va'achila, they require tikkun. You have a chefta shel pri that needs something, that needs a tikkun, in order to be fit for consumption. U'lekach hashuvin hein tluyin ba'aretz. Therefore, it's considered a mitzvah hatluya ba'aretz. As the Gemara in Kiddushin clarifies, mitzvah hatluya ba'aretz refers to chovas karka. it's a chova on the payros that grew from this karka that they need to be misukan. Aval bikurin, says the Rashmi Shantz, ein hachiyuv taloi bepeiros, ela ba'adam. The obligation of bikurim is not to do something to the prey. Rather, there's an obligation that befalls the person, that rests upon the gavra, to do something with his peiros. Not to create a change in the peiros, but rather to use the peiros in order to fulfill a chovas hagavra. That chovas hagavra is to bring the bikurim from his fields to the Beis HaMikdash. So if bikurim is a chovas haguf and not a chovas karka, so in Sezer Ash Mishant, bikurim is not a mitzvah hatuya ba'aretz. If it's not a mitzvah hatuya ba'aretz, then the gzeras ha'kasuv that was laid down in the Gemara in Kiddushin doesn't apply to it. And therefore, we need an additional gzeras ha'kasuv, shouldn't even say additional, we need any gzeras ha'kasuv to tell us that asher tavi me'aretzacha, the mitzvah of bikurim applies only in Eretz Yisrael. After all, other chovos haguf apply also in chutz la'aretz. Why would we think that if bikurim is a chovas haguf, it's limited to Eretz Yisrael? Elamai, we need the pasuk of asher tavi me'aretzacha. Rashi in Kiddushin, also the Flamed Zayin Amud Aleph, seems to concur with the position of the Rashmi Shantz that bikurim is a chovas haguf. When Rashi lists off all of the chovos karka, the mitzvos hatuyos ba'aretz, he says kegon trumos u'maisos, chal aleka chitcha u'peya shvias, chadash orla kelayin, gives you everything. But what's missing from the list? Bikurim. So we have here a machlokas, a fundamental machlokas, between the two deos and Tosfos, the first dea versus the Rashmi Shantz and also Rashi, whether to describe, to characterize bikurim as a mitzvah hatuyos ba'aretz, a chovas karka, or bikurim as a chovas haguf. This question is certainly subject to many nafkamina, and we'll discuss one pretty quickly. So the Mishnah in Gittin, Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, says that when one sells his field to a non-Jew, Amocher Sadeu La'ovi Kochavim, Lokeachu Mevi Mimenu Bikurim, Mipnei Tikon Ha'olam. He brings bikurim from that field, Mipnei Tikon Ha'olam. Midirabanan. There's a Dirabanan obligation to bring bikurim from a field that one has sold to a non-Jew. So the Gemara there, Gittin Mem Zayin Amud Beis, discusses the implications of this Mishnah. It tries to prove from this Mishnah that yesh kingin le'akum lehafkia kedusha be'eretz Yisrael. Because after all, apparently, the Gemara is assuming that if ein kingin le'akum be'eretz Yisrael lehafkia mikdushasa, if the kingin ha'akum doesn't actually uproot the kedusha of that field that existed when it was possessed by the Jew, so then there would have been a chiyuv de oraisa to bring bikurim. If there's only a chiyuv de rabbanon to bring bikurim, as the Mishnah says, then it must be the case that yesh kinyan la'akum be'eretz Yisrael la'afkia mikdushasa. That's what the Gemara tries to prove. I'm not going to go through the whole shakla b'taya there in Gittin. You can consult Azi doing Gittin during Kolol Seder. But the ramifications for us, the ramifications for us are as follows. Why would we think that even if ein kinyan la'akum la'afkia mikdushasa, so then there's a chiyuv de'oraisa to bring bikurim? Wait a minute. You sold the field. It's not in your possession. And still you're going to have a chiyuv de'oraisa to bring bikurim from a field that's not in your possession? How do we explain that phenomenon? Says Rashi, lishitasa, bikurim is a chovas haguf. Bikurim is a chovas haguf. So if you have bikurim that retain their kedusha because ein kinyan la'akum la'afkia mikdushasa, so then you have an obligation to bring the fruits to Eretz Yisrael. That would be the chiyuv to the Beis HaMikdash. I'm sorry. That would be the chiyuv de oraisa, says Rashi. And therefore, one would have an obligation to go out and purchase the fruits from the non-Jew and bring them to the Beis HaMikdash. But the Ramban there disagrees. Ramban says no. Can never fathom that there would be an obligation to go to the non-Jew and purchase the fruits in order to bring them to the Beis HaMikdash. No. The obligation is that if you were to repurchase the land, just voluntarily, of your own volition, so then you would have an obligation to bring the fruits. Yeah.
I just don't understand, why would you have a chovas of gabra to bring specifically those paras? Why would you have a chovas of gabra to bring paras from all of Eretz Yisrael? Like, why do you have a specific chovas of gabra on the?
I think the assumption is that within the kedusha of the paros, that field remains still linked to you, because in kinyan ha'akum le'afkia mikdushasa.
So you're still responsible for it?
In the kedusha of those papers, dinim that flow from the kedusha,
and that's not dependent on being a chovas hakarka.
If it were a chovas hakarka, so then right, so then you would have no obligation because of your question, right? Who's this? Why should I be the one who has to fix these payros? These payros need to be fixed, but there's no connection to me.
So it still has a connection to you, even after you sold it. Only because it's
close to go? Correct. Yeah, exactly. But the Ramban there disagrees. And the Ramban says, no, there's no chovas haguf. Rashi, there's no chovas haguf with respect to peiros. So Rashi's interpretation of the Gemara here is not correct. You would not have to go out and purchase the fruits. I'm sorry, what's your name?
Steven.
Okay, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet
you. Okay. So as Stephen was saying, basically, Stephen had the sheet of the Ramban in mind. If there's no chovas haguf, there's only a chovas hakarka, then of course those peiros, you're not responsible to bring those peiros to the Beis HaMikdash. So that's one nafkamina. There are many, many nafkamina. I also have on the Mekoros, if you'd like to look inside, the Sefer Toras Zra'im has a biur of a machlokas between Tosos and the Rambam. That's in sources number 22 to 24. But for purposes of time, we're going to skip over that nafkamina. Okay. Ellie Goldberg, wow. Okay. So, does he boo and sheer also? Okay.
The rules are going to skip nafkamina.
Yeah, but he also doesn't end by 11. Okay. All right, so in summary, what do we have here? We have the first day of Tosos, and also the day of the Ramban. The Chovas Bikurim is a Chovas HaKarka. It's a mitzvah, Hatluya Ba'aretz. And on that basis, we very much understand why the mitzvah of Bikurim is limited to Eretz Yisrael, why the Peros need to come from Eretz Yisrael. According to Rashi and the Rash Mishantz, the second day in Tosos, Chovas Bikurim is really a Chovas HaGuf. It's limited to Eretz Yisrael because of a special Xeris HaKos of Asher Tavime Artzacha. And if that's the case, and this is what's critical for us, then what seems to emerge is that the limitation to Eretz Yisrael is not an expression of the Kedushas HaKarka of Eretz Yisrael, but rather the Kedushas HaMakom of Eretz Yisrael. The fact that Bikurim needs to come from here, despite the fact that it's a Chovas HaGuf, suggests that the connection between Bikurim and Eretz Yisrael lies in the Kedushas HaMakom of Eretz Yisrael, rather than its Kedushas Karka. This idea that the limitation of Bikurim to Eretz Yisrael would be a manifestation not of the Kedushas HaKarka, but rather of the Kedushas HaMakom, affects many other issues as well, included in which are the scope of locations from which there would be a Chovas Bikurim. And by that I mean the following question. Is Eiver HaYardin included in the obligation of Bikurim? So the Mishnah, this is in source number 25, Mishnah Bikurim, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Yud, quotes a machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi Haglil. Tanakama says that we bring Bikurim from Eiver HaYardin. Rabbi Yossi Haglili says, Ein mevien Bikurim Eiver HaYardin, she'ena eretz zavas chalav udvash. The simple pshat in the Mishnah, this is the one adopted by the Mishnah Rishona, is that this machlokas is a machlokas on the plane of the De'oraisa din. The Tanakhama thinks that mid De'oraisa you have to bring Bikurim even from Eiver HaYardin. Yossi Haglili says no, Bikurim come only from Eretz Avas Chala Budvash, which is Eretz Yisrael Mamish on the western side of the Yardin. The Rambam throws a huge wrench into this mission. The Rambam Bikurim Perek Beis Halacha Aleph. The Rambam paskins that Mevi'in Bikurim Shel Divrehem May Are Sichon Va'og. Are Sichon Va'og, of course, is Eiver HaYardin. And apparently the Rambam holds that the Chiyuv to bring Bikurim from Are Sichon Va'og is only Midrabana. And that seems to be a problem, because the Mishnah in Bikurim had a machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi Haglili. usually we would expect that we would paskin like the Tanakhama against Rabbi Yossi HaGlil. So if the Mishnah Rishona was correct, and the Tanakhama holds that there's a chiyuv de oraisa to bring bikurim from Eber HaYardin, then why is the Rambam saying that we're bringing bikurim from Eber HaYardin only midirabban? So this prompted some of the Nosei Kelim. Kesef Mishnah quotes a tshuva of the Ma'arik, who have a striking interpretation of the Mishnah. They say that the Mishnah is actually a machlokas only on the plane of the Chiyuv d'Rabbanan. But mid Oraisa, the Tanakhama agrees with Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. Mid Oraisa, Rabbi Yossi HaGlili is correct that Bikurim come only from Eretz Yisrael Mamish. Mid Rabbanan, they're arguing whether you bring Bikurim from Eber HaYarden. And therefore, the Rambam paskins, in accordance with the Tanakhama, as we would expect, that yes, mid Rabbanan, we bring Bikurim from Eber HaYarden. This compels us to ask the following question. Why would Bikurim be limited to Eretz Yisrael Mamish? After all, other mitzvos tatuyos ba'aretz, truma, maestros, they apply in Eber HaYardin. That's taken for granted. The machlokas here is only with respect to Bikurim. In addition, the Beis HaLevi, this is in his Truvos, source number 28, Pelek Beis, Simin Nun. He quotes a Yerushalmi in Bikurim. Yerushalmi in Bikurim, Perek Aleph Halacha Ches. Where the Yerushalmi quotes a Braisa that has a different explanation as to why Bikurim would be limited to Eretz Yisrael Mamish. It says, not Eretz Avas Chalav Udvash, but rather because you have to be able to say, Asher Nosata Li, Velo Shenotalti Me'atzmi. Land that was given to me by the Ribono Shel Olam, land that was prescribed for me by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not land that I conquered by choice. So based on that, the Beis HaLevi reaches an incredible conclusion. He says, look, according to all, kibush ali de rabim shmei kibush. Right? If we are to conquer more lands that register as kibush rabim, then under the right pretenses, those would have the dinim of Eretz Yisrael. And mitzvos hatuyos ba'aretz would apply in those lands as well. But says the Beis HaLevi, according to this drasha, which he assumes everybody agrees to, even the Tanakhama in the Mishnah and Bikurim, agrees to this drasha of the Yerushalmi, Asher Nosatali, Velod Shonatati Miatzmi. According to that, even though Shar Aratzos that were conquered, Al Yedei Kibush Rabim, would be subject to the Chiyuv of Mitzvos Hatuyos Ba'aretz, they would not be subject to the obligation of Bikurim. Because it doesn't meet the standard of Asher Nosatali. So from the Kesef Mishnah, from the Beis HaLevi, what emerges is a distinction between Bikurim and other mitzvos hatuyos ba'aretz with respect to the scope of lands that are considered like Eretz Yisrael with respect to these chiyuvim. Eber HaYarden, Kibush Rabim, those register for mitzvos hatuyos ba'aretz. But apparently, say the Kesef Mishnah in the name of Ma'arik and the Beis HaLevi, they don't register when it comes to the chiyuv of Bikurim. This distinction very much suggests that the chiyuv of Bikurim shouldn't be perceived as a regular chovas karka that should be grouped together with the other mitzvos hatuyos ba'aretz, but rather that the limitation of Bikurim to Eretz Yisrael is a manifestation of the kedushas hamakom of Eretz Yisrael. And especially, as we'll develop, hopefully at the conclusion, if the chiyuv of Bikurim is tied not just to the kedushas hamakom of Eretz Yisrael, but to the shevach of Eretz Yisrael, to what makes Eretz Yisrael praiseworthy, to the gift of Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Zavas Chalav Udvash, the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu prescribed for us, that He gave to us directly, so then we can very much understand why we would have a distinction between Bikurim and other mitzvos hatuyos ba'aretz, such that Bikurim would apply only in Eretz Yisrael Mamish, and not in Eber HaYardin and Kibush Rabim, despite the fact that other mitzvot satyos ba'aretz would apply there as well. Another expression of this idea that chovas bikurim is really a function of the kedushas hamakom of Eretz Yisrael is the apparent non-application of the din of bias kolchem to bikur. So let's introduce this as follows. The Gemara in Ksubis, Daf Chaf Hei Amid Aleph, establishes the requirement of bias kolchem, that you have to have most of Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael in order for the mitzvah of Hafrashas Chala to be applicable. Some of the Rishonim, like the Ravid, Hilchos Trumos, Perak Aleph, Halach HaChav Vav, say that this din is applicable, it's true only for Chala, but many other Rishonim extend it beyond Chala. The Rambam, in that same halacha, applies it to Trumos and to Maisros. Derech Agav, Rav Rosenzweig has a very nice mahalach on Truma and Bias Kolchem, why the Rambam waits until the last halacha of Perek Aleph to tell us that Truma is not the Orais of Bizman Hazeh, almost to give us the misimpression throughout the entire first Perek of Hilchos Trumos that Truma would be a Chiyuv de Orais of Bizman Hazeh. So, Ayin Sham, I'm pretty sure it's written up, Avram, I'm pretty sure. But nonetheless, for our purposes, the Rambam there notes that the prerequisite of Bias Kolchem applies not only to Chala, but also to Trumos and Maisers. The Sefer Achinoch in Mitzvah Reish Tes Zayin extends Bias Kolchem also to the Mitzvah of Peah. And Reb Chaim in Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel, Perek Yud Beis, assumes within the Shita of the Rambam that it applies also to Shmita and to Yovel. So it seems to be the case is that according to many, Bias Kolchem applies not only to Chala, but across the board, within the set of mitzvos hatluyos ba'aretz. But if you take a look at the Minchas Chinuch, this is in source number 29, Minchas Chinuch's comments on the mitzvah of Bikurim, mitzvah Tzadi Aleph, Minchas Chinuch takes for granted that the requirement of Bias Kolchem would not apply to Bikurim. Meaning to say that even when you don't have the majority of Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvah of Bikurim will still apply. Why? Why should Bikurim be distinguished from these other mitzvos of Trumos Maisos, Peah, Shmita V'Yovel? So in order to answer that question, we first have to clarify the nature of the requirement of Bias Kolchem. And there we turn to some famous comments of Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim was mechalik between two dinim that on their surface appear very similar. The first is Bias Kolchem, and the second is the requirement of kol yoshveha aleha. Chaim explains this is in Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel, and also, I forget where, in one other place. Chaim explains that the requirement of kol yoshveha aleha is an external prerequisite for the application of yovlos. If you want to have yovlos, you have to have most of Klal Yisrael present during the 50th year. And that Nekuda is assessed each and every Yovel. It's not like we conquer Eretz Yisrael and then at that time we decide, okay, is most of Klal Yisrael here or not? And that's going to determine whether Yovlos are practiced during this period of life in Eretz Yisrael. No. We decide each and every Yovel, do we have Kol Yoshveha Aleha or not? That's a problem. No, is there a problem? No? Oh, good. Okay, I like your poker face. Good. Okay. However, the din of Bias Kolchem, says Reb Chaim, is fundamentally different. Din of Bias Kolchem is not assessed each and every time you have an obligation of Trumos Maitzos Chala Shvius. The din of Bias Kolchem is assessed only at the onset of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, meaning when Eretz Yisrael is conquered, when it becomes Mekudash, Al Yedei, the Kibush. Reb Chaim infers from there that the halacha of Bias Kolchem is a shiur in the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. If you have Rov Klal Yisrael present at the time of the Kibush, so then you have full and complete Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. But if Klal Yisrael is missing at the time of the Kibush, so then the Kedushas Eretz Yisrael is compromised. Rav Rosenzweig argues very strongly that there is still Kiddushas Eretz Yisrael, but rather it's either quantitatively compromised, or even if it's qualitatively compromised, it doesn't mean that there are no aspects of Kiddusha, but rather that there are some and not others. But nonetheless, what emerges clearly is that the idea of Bias Kolchem is a shiur in the Kiddusha of Eretz Yisrael, and specifically the Kiddushas Hakarka of Eretz Yisrael. So if that's the case, then we can understand very well why the Minchas Chinuch takes for granted, and Rosenzweig, I think, did want to advance the same position, that Bias Kolchem would not apply to the mitzvah of Bikurim. If Chovas Bikurim was just like other mitzvahs Hatuyos Ba'aretz, Trumos Maiso Shmita Yodol Chala, so then it should be treated the same way. The same way that Kedushas Karka is compromised in those mitzvahs, it should be compromised in Bikurim. However, as we've proven over and over again, according to the Rash Mishantz and Rashi, according to the Beis Halevi and the Ma'arik, that there are distinctions between the Hekif HaMakomos, from which we bring Bikurim, if Bikurim is a Chovas HaGuf, that's a function of the Kedushas HaMakom of Eretz Yisrael. So then we can understand that it's not going to be tied to the din of Bias Kolchem, which is really related to the Kedushas HaKarka. The Kedushas HaMakom of Eretz Yisrael may go back all the way to the Avos. Rav Rosenzweig often quotes the Kaftor of Aferach, who discusses this idea of the Shem Eretz Yisrael, or the Kedushas HaMakom of Eretz Yisrael, having gone all the way back to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And if that's the case, so then we can understand why Bias Kolchem would not apply to the mitzvah of Bikurim. So until now, we've amassed a lot of evidence that the limitation of Bikurim to Eretz Yisrael is an expression of the Kedushas HaMakom of Eretz Yisrael. For Bikurim to be offered, they have to originate from that sanctified space, from that location of Eretz Yisrael. But I want to explore further on what basis it's so critical to have the sanctified space of Eretz Yisrael for Bikurim. Why is the Kedushas HaMakom of Eretz Yisrael indispensable to the mitzvah of Bikurim? So we're going to suggest here two non-mutually exclusive perspectives. They come from two different shiurim that Rav Rosenzweig presented on the mitzvah of Bikurim on Inyanei Eretz Yisrael and Yom HaAtzmaut. One was from, I believe, 3 years ago, and one was from before my time, from Tafshin Ay. So we're going to present both, and I think they're very much mutually enhancing, not the opposite. Let's begin with the first mahalach. Bikurim have a requirement of Havoas Makom. The owner of the fruit is obligated to take the fruits and bring them to the Beis HaMikdash. And that din of Havoas Makom is part and parcel of the mitzvah. Part of the mitzvah of Bikurim, just like Maaser Sheni and Behor, we're going to see in a second, is to do that travel, to take the Bikurim from the Medina and bring it all the way to the Beis HaMikdash. We're going to try to prove from the Rambam that the requirement of Havoas Makom engenders a requirement of Kedushas HaMakom of Eretz Yisrael. Meaning to say that the answer to our question as to why Kedushas HaMakom is so indispensable for Chovas Bikurim, the key to that lies in the requirement of Havoas Makom of Bikurim. So let's explain as follows. We turn to source number 30 in the source sheet if you're following along. Not 30, I'm sorry, 34. The Gemara in Temura, Daf Chaf Aleph, Amid Beis, extrapolates from the smichos of Bechor and Maaser Sheni, that just as Maaser Sheni needs to be brought to Yerushalayim, only if it comes from Eretz Yisrael, meaning there's no din of Maaser Sheni in Chutz La'aretz. You bring Maaser Sheni to Yerushalayim to eat only if the produce was from Eretz Yisrael. So too, a Bechor Behema Tahora, is offered in the Mikdash only if it comes from Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz La'aretz, you have to be Mafrish Bechor Behema Tahora, but you don't bring it to the Mikdash. You don't bring it on the plane. No, I don't know how you do that, but but you don't bring it over to Eretz Yisrael and offer it on the Mizbeach and the Mikdash. No, only a Bechor that comes from Eretz Yisrael. And that din is learned, it's derived from Ma'aser Sheni. The Rambam codifies this, Hilchos Bechoros, Perek Aleph, Halacha Hei. Mitzvahs Bechor Behema Tahora, Nohegas Ba'aretz Uvechutz La'aretz, Ve'ein Mevi'in Bechoros Mechutz La'aretz La'aretz, but you don't bring them from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. Why? Shneemar. Ve'alchalta lefnei Hashem Elokecha, Ma'asar Deganecha, Tiroshcha V'yitzarecha, Uvchoros Bekarfa V'tzonecha. Mimakom she'ata mevi ma'aser dagon, ata mevi b'chor bakar v'tzon. Mimakom she'in ata mevi ma'aser dagon, I ata mevi b'chor bakar v'tzon. So here, we derive something about b'chor from a property that we know of ma'aser shein. What's intriguing is that the Rambam in Hilchos Ma'aser Sheni, Perek Aleph, Halacha Yadalit, source 35, does the exact opposite. It's backwards. Ma'aser Sheni, Hovil v'tzon havoas makom, ein mevien oso mechutz la'aretz, ki b'chor behema. Since Ma'aser Sheni requires havoas makom, just like b'chor behema, you can't bring it from chutz la'aretz. So here, the Rambam flips. In Hilchos Bechoros, based on the Gemara in Temura, the Rambam derived that Bechor is limited to Eretz Yisrael because Ma'aser Sheni is limited to Eretz Yisrael. But in Hilchos Ma'aser Sheni, we're saying that Ma'aser Sheni is limited to Eretz Yisrael, just like Bechor is limited to Eretz Yisrael. What's the idea? So Reb Chaim, in Hilchos Ma'aser Sheni over there, explains as follows. He says there's two dinim when it comes to the limitation of Ma'aser Sheni to Eretz Yisrael. One din is the stam din of Kedushas Karka, of Mitzvah Hatluya Ba'aretz. Ma'aser Sheni comes from Eretz Yisrael because it's a Mitzvah Hatluya Ba'aretz. But in addition to that, once we derive Bechor from Ma'aser Sheni, so then Bechor ends up reflecting back on the din of Ma'aser Sheni. Why is Bechor limited to Eretz Yisrael? Because it's Ton Avas Makom, says the Rambam. If that's the case, so then we can derive from Bechor to Ma'aser Sheni that there's an additional din when it comes to Ma'aser Sheni as to why it's limited to Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't come from Chutz La'aretz, one, because of Kedushas Karka, Mitzvah Tuya Ba'aretz, two, because it's Ton Avas Makom. Reb Chaim says even if you could draw up some alternate reality where you were able to create a Shein Ma'aser Sheni in Chutz La'aretz, you still wouldn't bring it to Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because Ma'aser Sheni is Ta'on Avas Makom just like Bechor. And anything that's Ta'on Avas Makom must originate from Eretz Yisrael. Rav Rosenzweig added, very, very, Kedarko Bakodesh, very, very astute diuk, that this can explain the Lefikach in the Rambam, in Hilchos Ma'aser Sheni Perek Aleph. The Rambam says, Lefikach lo chivu lahafresh Ma'aser Sheni b'Surya. That's why there's no obligation of Ma'aser Sheni in Surya. Were it the case that the whole din of Ma'aser Sheni was just a din in Kedushas Karakan, Mitzvah Tuya Ba'aretz, so then we would expect that there would be a din d'Rabbanan to have Ma'aser Sheni in Surya. But now that Ma'aser Sheni derives from Bechor, now that we have the idea of Ta'on Avas Makom, that instructs us that anything that is Ta'on Avas Makom, Bechor and Ma'aser Sheni, is limited to Eretz Yisrael, so then we're going to exclude Surya, even Surya, because there's something in addition to the Chovas HaKarka of Ma'aser Sheni. There's the Ta'on Avas Makom aspect of Ma'aser Sheni that determines that it must be limited to Eretz Yisrael, and that is not going to generate a Chiyuv D'Rabbanan in Surya. What's this idea that anything that is Ta'on Havas Makom must originate from Eretz Yisrael? Apparently, the idea of Ta'on Havas Makom is that something has an immense potential. It has a certain destiny to it. This Chefza, from its very onset, from its very coming into existence, is destined for the ultimate place of Kedusha. It's destined to be brought to the Azara, to the Beis HaMikdash, maybe even to the Mizbeach. And it seems to be the case that when we have such a chafta, that status registers and has nafkamina even prior to its coming to the Beis HaMikdash, even prior to the fulfillment of the destiny. The fact that this object is going to end up in that place of immense kedusha means that it needs to come from a place that's connected to that final destination, to the end of the journey in the Beis HaMikdash. And if that's the case, then we can understand why it has to come from Eretz Yisrael when it ends up in the Mikdash. Because Eretz Yisrael is the land that its Kedusha flows from the Mikdash, flows from the Kedusha of the Mikdash. Eretz Yisrael is the land that's connected to the Mikdash. So when you have something that's going to end up in the Mikdash and needs to start from a place that's connected to the Mikdash, then it needs to start from Eretz Yisrael. How do I know that the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael flows from the Kedusha of the Mikdash? Let's return to that Mishnah in Kaman. Eser Kedusha saying Eretz Yisrael Mekudash Asi Mikolo Aratzos. The Mishnayos there continue to list off the other Kedushos, getting closer and closer to the Azara, to the Mizbeach, to the Heichal, to the Kodesh HaKadosh. Explain the Rav that what the Mishnah is trying to say is that there's a center of Kedusha in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Mikdash, and that radiates outwards to the rest of Eretz Yisrael. What Rav Rosenzweig likes to call the concentric circles of Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. You have the inner circle of the Mikdash, and eventually you get to the most outer circle of Eretz Yisrael. But the Kedusha is stemming from the Mikdash. And therefore, we're characterizing the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael in light of the Kedushas and Mikdash, in light of that connection between the two. Now we can explain also why Bikurim is mentioned in that Mishnah. Ha'omer v'ha-Bikurim u'shtei alechem. Some of the Mefarshim, the Gra, Eliyahu, Rabba, and Kalim, were not happy that Kalim was mentioned in the Mishnah. Why is Bikurim here? Bikurim is a chovas hakarka, it's a mitzvah fliya ba'aretz. Does the Mishnah mention truma, maisus, chala, shvius? None of that. Why? Because what the Mishnah is talking about is kedushas hamakom. So I understand if you mention to me omer, shtei alechem, those are karbanos. They're not tied to the karka. So the fact that they're limited to Eretz Yisrael is an expression of the kedushas hamakom. But bikurim, it's a mitzvah tuya ba'aretz, says the Gra. But if we're correct that bikurim is really stemming from the kedushas hamakom of Eretz Yisrael, more parallel to omer and shtei alechem, so then we can understand why it's expressed in the Mishnah. And in fact, it's the perfect expression in the Mishnah. Because what the Mishnah is trying to do is to say that the uniqueness of the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael is that it comes from the Mikdash. And so too, the reason why Bikurim is limited to Eretz Yisrael is because it's Ta'on Avas Makom. Because eventually it's going to end up in the Mikdash, and therefore we have a Chalos even from its very origination, that it needs to come from a place that's connected to Kedusha HaMikdash, namely from the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. The second approach that Rav Rosenzweig suggested was, as we were meramis to earlier, the mitzvah of Bikurim, the ultimate mechayiv of the mitzvah of Bikurim is to celebrate the gift of Eretz Yisrael, to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to offer thanksgiving for the opportunity for life in Eretz Yisrael. There are many, many, many rayos to this yisod. The fact that we have a mikra Bikurim that reflects on the process and the journey that it took to get to this place of Eretz Yisrael. The fact that Bikurim come specifically from the Shevas Haminim, from the Shvach of Eretz Yisrael, as the Rambam says. As we mentioned before, the Beis Halevi and the Yerushalmi, Eretz Shemasatali, the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu prescribed for us and gave to us directly, Eretz Zavas Chalav Udvash, says Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. And in addition to that, the fact that Bikurim applies only after Kibush V'Chiluk. Meaning, only when we're settled in Eretz Yisrael, when we're living genuine life in Eretz Yisrael, do we have the mitzvah of Bikurim. Because the mitzvah of Bikurim is a celebration of the opportunity for life in Eretz Yisrael. And if that's the case, that Avas Bikurim is the ultimate expression of Hakaras HaTov for that transcendent opportunity, so then the fact that Bikurim has to come from Eretz Yisrael is axiomatic. Bikurim is a celebration of the land. Of course, it's going to have to originate from this very land, from the Eretz Avas Cholav Udvash, from the Eretz Shenosat Ali, V'lo Shenotalti Me'at. So based on these two perspectives, we can return to the question with which we began. Namely, the role of Chovas Bikurim within the world of Kedushas Hazman, the connections between Bikurim and Pesach and the Korban HaOmer, Bikurim and Shavuos and the Korban Shtei Alechem. Frozen Tzvaka has explained many times that the transit, probably this year as well, in Shir Yomi, the transition from Chag HaMatzos to Chag HaShavuos is the transition of a physical freedom to maybe what we would dub a spiritual freedom. Ein ben chorin ela mishi yasot batorah. The removal of the shackles of Avdus Mitzrayim to the ability to grow freely and infinitely within the system of Torah and mitzvos guided by the principles and values of Dvar Hashem. It's also reflected by those korbanos. The Korban HaOmer, as the Aruch HaShulchan explains, is the Michael Behema, the barley, because at that time we don't have the full potential of an Eved Hashem. We're more akin to a free behemoth. Whereas, of course, on Shavuos, we bring the Korban Shtei Alechem, one of the only times we bring Chametz to the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because on Shavuos, Kabbalah HaTorah, we have the opportunity to grow freely, to have that unfettered growth, as he likes to say, within the system of Torah Umitzvos. And as such, Pesach, Shavuos, Korban HaOmer, Shtei Alechem, they constitute and reflect different stages in the development of Klal Yisrael and its coming into being as that Mamleches Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh. And the truth is that Havoas Bikurim also constitutes a stage in that development. Havoas Bikurim is the eventual culmination of that development process. It's the stage at which we give thanks and reflect on the generation of Klal Yisrael, on our having coming into being, our opportunity to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and not only to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but to serve Him in His land, in Eretz Yisrael, within that sphere of Kedushas HaMakom, and enjoying the Eretz Tzavas Chalav Udvash. And if that's the case, so then it's not surprising that at the initial stages of that process, Chag HaMatzos, Chag HaShavuos, we're already foreshadowing where this process is going to lead. It's eventually going to lead to that mitzvah of Bikurim, to being settled in Eretz Yisrael, having the opportunity to reflect back and offer Hakaras HaTov for having gone through that process from Chag HaMatzos to Chag HaShavuos, Korban HaOmer to Shtei Alechem, eventually to the Kiyum HaMitzvah of Havoas Bikurim. Yom HaAtzmaut Sameach to everybody.